Hello, Friends on Fire friends. It has been way too long since I have posted on this feed. This is Maggie, half of Friends on Fire. And I did have an intent to post more often to remind people about the Inside Out Money podcast. It's funny, I frequently will end up talking to someone who was a fan of Friends on Fire and actually doesn't realize that I relaunched a podcast called Inside Out Money when Mike and I retired Friends on Fire. And I had intended to more frequently post something like this to remind you guys, but here I am, 312 days after Friends on Fire retired and Inside Out Money launched. So I'm a little late. I think I've done it once before this, but I want to play an Inside Out Money episode for you on this podcast feed. And if you want to listen to almost 50 other episodes that we've done so far on Inside Out Money, go search up Inside Out Money on any podcast app you listen to, or you can go to the insideoutmoney.org website to find out more information and find a podcast player. This is one of our most popular episodes so far. It's in our top 10, right up at the top. This was Greg and I reflecting on our 500th day of early retirement and sharing how it's been going. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And again, there's a lot of awesome co-hosts. There's a rotating set of co-hosts that I'm podcasting with on Inside Out Money. And there's almost 50 episodes as of this week. Please go check them out and let us know what you think. Thank you so much. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast.
Can't even recognize this place. Too many pieces of our past.
Hi, I'm Maggie, and I believe real change starts from the inside out. So let's work together to improve our money and our lives from the inside out. We will explore all things money and our relationship with it. Join me each week with a rotating set of co-hosts, friends, and interviews. Let's jump in.
It's time, we go around.
Greg.
Hey, Maggie.
Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been at least 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, more like 30 seconds. For those of you that might be new to the show, hello and welcome to Inside Out Money. This is a personal finance podcast focused on redefining wealth from the inside out. Each week, I speak with a rotating set of co-hosts about a different financial topic to help you improve your financial mindset and tactics. This week, I'm talking with Greg, one of our co-hosts, also known as my husband. I'm also known as his wife. And we're not necessarily talking about financial tactics, but we are going to talk about early retirement. And I think a lot of this ties back into people's financial goals. And anyway, I guess my point is I hope we're going to be very vulnerable and honest about how early retirement is going today. And I hope it's interesting and helpful to people.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about the emotional and mental side of FI.
Yeah.
Or RE, really.
Fire. Yeah, right. More the RE part, right? Because the FIRE, for those who are less familiar with the term, FIRE stands for financial independence, retire early. Some people split it up because there's the FI of a lot of people just want to get to financial independence, but they don't actually want to or have the intent to retire early. We did both. We actually maybe we didn't even realize we could do it perhaps. And so we were interested in the retire early and then realized, oh, cool. If we get to FI, we could, whatever. You get the idea. We did refi. We refied our lives. So I'll just talk for 2 seconds about what initiated us even doing this episode. You were sharing a lot of feelings, Greg, and you were kind of going through some stuff. And I coincidentally was like, how many days has it been since we retired? And I do what I frequently do, which is I ask Siri. And I was like, how many days has it been? And a couple days ago, I think on the day I asked, it was like 495 days was the day that you were expressing some funkiness. I don't know if funkiness is the right word, but some angst. And you were having a bad day, which, by the way, Greg, you rarely have bad days, I should say, right? Don't you think that's true? You might internally have bad days more than I realize, but you rarely let them show visibly.
Yeah, I guess I've probably been feeling all of these things, but I think it just sort of boiled over on that day.
And your idea of a bad day is you're still like really nice. And I mean, you were just, you weren't like super mean that day, but you were you were less your jovial self, right? My point is, right around that time, I realized we were hitting this what feels like a little monumental mark of 500 days. It's just a very, you know, big number, and it feels way longer than it actually feels like it's been, for what it's worth. Some days I feel like our jobs feel so far away from us and forever ago, but a lot of times I'm like, yeah, it feels like we might have left a few months ago or something.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I agree. It varies. Sometimes it does feel like ancient history almost, thinking about our jobs. And
so we've recorded some episodes where we share some of the advice other people had given us. And I think we've said a bunch of times that if it weren't for the fact that other people had given us some advice, that it was going to take 12 to 18 to 24 months where we'd go through this very funky period. I can't think of a better word lately, so I'm just going to say funky period. I think we would have been much more in our heads than we already were. But we had been warned by people that just had just been through what we were kind of getting into. And enough people said the same thing. Things that we, I think, were pretty mentally prepared for, like, this isn't just going to be like you're magically happy the day you walk away from, you know, what seemed to be very demanding and stressful jobs. And you all of a sudden are like, oh my gosh, I have all this time and I'm accomplishing all the things I always said I would do. And, you know, I have all this freedom and everything else. And so we were given that advice. And I'm not going to get into that advice in detail because we did it. We talk about that advice in detail in some other episodes that we did. And we read a lot of it aloud. We did a 365-day check-in and some other ones where we share it. So I'll put a link in the show notes to those. But I think is worth noting of, we were given advice that this would be a unique transition. And that advice was spot on.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
Yeah. But I personally feel, I don't think I'm like perfect of where I want to be, but I lately have been feeling like I'm getting into a decent groove of my schedule. And, you know, I was overcommitted to some volunteer stuff for a while and was kind of gotten unhappy with that. I was over indexing in that space, and I didn't have enough time to do the things that I wanted to do. And volunteering is one of the things I want to do, but it's not the only thing I was giving. I had basically replaced a full-time job where I made a lot of money with a full-time commitment to various volunteer roles. And it was just way too much. I was like, did not have time to just meditate and work out and do things I wanted to do. And I've pulled back on some of those things. Some of those commitments ended and I haven't replaced them, which I tended to do. So I think I'm in a decent spot, not a perfect spot. But so we're going to spend more time focused on how you're doing, Greg. And it's related to some themes of, you know, things we're both feeling and going through. But I just thought I'd start with, I'm doing okay. Like, I feel like I'm in a better spot. But how are you feeling?
I would agree that I feel like you are in a better groove and in a better place than you were maybe 6 months ago. You seem to be a little more balanced and happier. So it's really good to see. And I'm glad you're kind of finding your own balance.
You mean like I'm playing pickleball twice a week?
Well, just in general, you seem happier. Yeah.
I know. I was just kidding.
So I'll preface any of this with saying it feels weird to even complain or express feelings of not being satisfied all the time when you have, you know, this amazing opportunity that it's, yes, we put in some hard work, but we're also extremely fortunate to be where we are. So I you know, it feels almost like you shouldn't express these feelings. And that's some of it too, is feeling like, wow, I should be so happy. I have this amazing opportunity that most people don't have. And yet I am not always feeling happy, which is, I think, some of the challenge in itself. And so, you know, in addition to feeling, you know, fortunate and recognizing that, I am also very glad that I don't have the work stress. And I recognize that I am happier without the work stress. I was in a job that for me was very stressful. Some of the dynamics were tough for me. And not having that, I definitely am happier in many ways. So I want to start with the positives and not just lead into here's what's wrong. And I try to do that in my daily life, even of recognizing the things that I'm happy for. There's one more. And the summer travel of the past two summers has been incredible. And when we've traveled with the kids the last two summers, that's where I feel like we are living
our
the dream,
best lives.
So to speak. speak. Yeah. I mean, it's, and again, it's tough traveling with the kids, but we're doing what, you know, that's when you are truly taking advantage of early retirement. You're on a 5-week trip to Europe and you're, you know, really enjoying it. You're not thinking about work. You're not thinking about how far behind you are. You're not worried about what emails in the inbox you haven't seen.
That's not your only summer vacation where you get, you're taking 2 weeks off work and you're on a long trip with your kids and it's cool, but you're thinking about work and you're not fully, when you finally get present as some sort of like one day in the middle of a 2-week vacation.
Right. Right.
You know, you quit thinking about what you left or what you have to go back to.
Yeah.
Yeah. On what you were saying earlier too, Greg, I mean, I think it is a very, like, you can have both things, right? You can be very grateful, which I think we both are, and recognizing, you know, the privilege we came from and the fortunate things we have had in our lives and the circumstances that, you know, we've worked hard for it, but we also had a lot of legs up in life. And I think we can be fortunate and still be vulnerable and say like, hey, you're not just magically happy when you early retire. There's a lot of emotions and things to work through on what is a very big life transition, especially retiring in your 40s versus in your late 60s or 70s.
Right. No, I appreciate you saying that. And I mean, I guess that's a good segue into how I am feeling. And I think it's hard to say how long I've been feeling this way. I think it sort of has built a little bit, especially as we got back from the trip this summer and, you know, you transition to the kids being back in school and all that comes along with that. But I've just been feeling kind of blue and very kind of unaccomplished. I felt like everyone that I heard talk about early retirement, even when they said, oh, the first 12 months is going to be rough, but then you're going to have this creativity and this energy and you're going to discover new things about yourself and the world around you and, you know, rainbows and butterflies. And I often feel that that is not the case for me. I think I'm not doing new things. I'm not learning new things. I've not developed new interests or hobbies or ideas. Or I think, you know, I thought that I might have ideas for passion projects or new entrepreneurial ventures that would just sort of start coming to me. And that has not been happening. And I am frustrated that I feel like I'm not taking advantage of the time. I'm not living life to its fullest. I think I thought, oh, a job is the thing that's keeping me from happiness. And once that job's gone, I am just going to be happy and productive and creative and all of these things. And I'm not feeling that way most of the time. So I struggle with that sometimes.
Yeah. And I think part of your struggle, Greg, from the conversations we've had, and you said this earlier, is you feel like you should feel differently. So you then end up in this like cycle of just giving yourself a heart, like being less graceful with yourself about how you're feeling, because you just get in the cycle like, well, I should feel really fortunate. Why am I not? And then you're like, and I think people can relate to those feelings on many other situations in their life. Even when, I mean, you think that about kids, you're like, oh, I should love being around my kids all the time. Like a lot of people tried really hard to have kids and wanted kids bad and went through, you know, lots of medical situations and expenses. And then you're like, you can go through all that and really want kids and then still be frustrated with your kids and be like, oh, there's times that being a parent is really hard and sucks and they're not always nice to you and they're not always grateful for stuff. And, you know, so I just say that as like, there's a lot of, I think, other scenarios in life where that is normal to end up in this cycle of, you know, feeling some way and then feeling guilty that you're feeling that way. And then it just kind of, you know, is this downward spiral. And I think, I think the idea is like, how do you get out of this, which we'll talk about. But
yeah, I think that comparison to having kids is probably a pretty apt one because it is such a blessing. And yet it's so hard that there are times where you don't feel that you're feeling as grateful as you should feel. And then I think that for us too, because we do have kids that are school age, it's not like we can just go off and travel the world. Because I do think when we're traveling, that is where you feel pretty alive, so to speak. And for us, we have done some traveling, but we are not able to just go travel and slow travel, spend a month somewhere. Our lives are still rooted in a lot of schedules and a lot of...
The kids are at our house every day after school, with the exception of when we're, you know, taking a trip here and there. And yeah, I think it's not just travel, but it is the idea of complete freedom, right? Being able to do...
carefree living. Yeah.
Whatever you want, whenever you want, and see a good travel deal and like, okay, let's go to Bali next week, right? We can't do that, right? And I'm not complaining about it. It's just the reality of where our lives are. We've got, you know, kids 11 10 to 15 now that are, we want to be here for and are around and around on a pretty much daily basis. And one of our goals in early retirement was to be around for them. And so, Greg, let's shift to what we started talking about when you were this was like a particular day where a lot of this came to head and you were expressing your feelings, and I could see it in the way you were acting and in the discussion we had, right? We started talking about it and we, you know, then it then went into a few days where we were talking about this a lot. And you know me, I'm a very like, I'm in my feelings a lot. And I like to talk about feelings, but I also am super quick to be like, how do we fix this? And like, I've got ideas, and I'm very, for everybody that like, you'll hear this a lot, that people that give relationship advice, which is there's times when, and this is good advice for work also. There's times when like my employees would be venting to me about a situation. And same thing with you, Greg, when someone in a relationship is venting to you about a situation, a really good question to ask is, what do you need from me right now? Is it me to be in listen mode, or are you looking for solutions? And asking somebody that can really help you to better know how to listen. And I would frequently ask my direct reports that of like, hey, do you just want me to listen? And is that what you need from me right now? Or do you want me to get in action mode? Because I got ideas and I'll need to share them if that's not what you're looking for. And because I will lean towards action mode if you start dumping things on me, anybody, right? I very quickly, myself and with others, I go into like, okay, what can we do to fix this?
I agree. You are very good about coming up with solutions, but sometimes more quickly than I'm ready to even digest them. So I like your approach of saying, are you ready for suggestions or solutions, or do you just want to vent for a little bit?
Yeah. And I think that is just a good piece of advice for anyone in a relationship, whether it professional or personal. So I was giving you examples and I was like, hey, I hear what you're saying. And I like generally try to imagine what you're going through. Like I'm in the same situation roughly. We just have different ways. I've been kind of busier and had my hands in more like this podcast. And I've got a bunch of people I'm playing pickleball with, which by the way, Greg knows he's invited to play pickleball. He's been nursing a shoulder injury for a while now. And pickleball is like the last thing that would be helpful for his shoulder. But I've just had my hands in like a lot of things and been very involved in a lot of things that I think are making me feel of value and useful and filling the gaps that work used to fill in many ways. And I shouldn't even say filling the gaps that work filled, because it's not like we need to fill those gaps, but that have been making me feel useful and productive. And many of the things that you were expressing, you're not feeling. And so it's funny, I was like half joking, half being serious when one of my first suggestions to Greg was a little bit of reframing of like, I was like, look, a couple things. I said, you know, one, first off, I recognize these were not like my actual beliefs of like what the long-term solution was for Greg. These were just two things that came to mind to me immediately. And I mentioned to Greg, and then, well, Greg, you will share all of the things that you've actually kind of realized and committed to doing and stuff. But one was, I was just reframing this as like, remember that this is a phase in our lives. And we said one of the reasons we want to early retire is to be more around for our kids in the next 5 years that they're left in our home, and that they're, you know, in 4.5 years, almost all of our kids will be driving or out of the house. And I say driving because that's a point where we're going to see like less and less of them. And so it's not a lot of time left, right? And the last, you know, 10 to 15 years has really flown by. So in some ways, I was just reframing it as like, remember, as much as it doesn't always feel like the most fulfilling job, because you're not, with teenagers in particular, you're not getting like daily I love yous and thank you so much for all you do for me. Like you don't feel the love. You know, it's deep down buried somewhere in their bodies and they don't know how to express it. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to express it for another 10 years. But we know that this is a phase, right? That we've got 5 more years where we're leaning heavily into being available for our kids. And that's okay. And we need to just sort of like wrap our heads around it and realize that that's going to come with some pros and cons.
Yeah. And that was helpful, because I think when I'm having these thoughts of why aren't I doing something? Why aren't I figuring out my passions and doing something creative and doing something that really benefits people, that I am doing that in a smaller scale, but I'm the most important people in my life. I'm spending a large amount of time and I'm emotionally available for them. And even though sometimes that's reciprocated with a teenager that's frustrated and in a bad mood, that I'm still there. And I think that that is helpful for me. It's not that I don't enjoy being there, but it was helpful for me to understand and just realize that I am living out some of the most important values and goals that we said. So even though every day, like you said, it doesn't feel as
rewarding
or grand as some vision I have in my head of, I don't even know what the vision is, but that it is the most important thing right now. And it's time that we'll never get back. And so that did help me realize that I am doing something important.
Yeah.
Even on days where I feel like all I've done is drive my teenage kids around.
But I mean, to give you kudos, because you're not going to get it from them. I don't say you're not going to get it. We don't always get it from them. Is you are incredibly, you're a very active and engaged dad, right? Like you are 100% on when the kids are around. And I mean, I say around, like when we have them, and you will drive someone to the mall and sit there and wait while they do, you know, you'll get dragged around to 10 stores and you'll go pick up something that got put on hold 45 minutes from where we live because it's the only store that has something and the dance is in 2 days and somebody really wants this. And then it's only one of 10 dresses they're going to try on anyways, but you'll go pick it up and then return it 2 days later, right? And so you are there doing and helping them with homework and, you know, we're at every volleyball game. And, you know, so there is so much that, though you don't always feel the accolades from the people you're doing it for, and that's just because we're dealing with, you know, a certain age of kids here, you're doing it and you're doing it well, right? And you don't, again, that's a job that just doesn't, like when you were at work and you would finish some project or someone would tell you you did a good job, like you don't get that feeling of accomplishment perhaps from doing stuff for teenagers.
Yeah. And some of it is not necessarily even just the lack of accolades, because I don't want them portrayed as completely ungrateful. It's sometimes too, you just maybe lose sight of the importance of that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the difference that it's making in their lives.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for them, it's just a drive. But I do really feel like our presence in their lives is important. And sometimes it's helpful just to step back and say these mundane daily activities all build towards a child that has a strong feeling of support from their parents and love. And I think that is something that will stay with them forever. But sometimes you lose sight of that because it is such mundane errand running. And
well, it's a thing that society places a lower value on for whatever reason. And I think that's one of the things why I say, like, we have to even reframe it for ourselves, because we have been trained or indoctrined to place a lower value on it. Because you're right, it's not all about the, like, someone thanking us. I mean, we get thank yous. It's just that stuff feels like it's been deemed like lower value by society, and it shouldn't be. I think it's one of the most important things we could be doing right now. And it's a privilege to be able to do it.
Yeah. So that was very helpful when you shared that perspective with me.
Okay. Thank you for saying that it was helpful. The other thing that probably wasn't quite as helpful, but I thought was kind of funny and true, is I also was like, well, look, one of the things that you were saying was that you were feeling very unaccomplished and like just unaccomplished. And I was kind of half joking to you. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to make you feel accomplished. But I was like, you know, when I paint the deck, I feel really accomplished. And I was telling Greg, I'm like, I got a long list of things. Like, we have this project on the side of the house where like the land's kind of eroding and it's like breaking some pipe. And we just need to like fix some stuff and bring some rocks in and do some other stuff. And I was just listing that. But I'm like, there's like 20 things around the house that are like backlogged house projects and things that we need to do. And I was like, do you want me to make a list? And you like, you know, we'll treat this like a, you know, I'll make you feel really accomplished when you're done with the, like, well, I was half joking that I was like, I actually do feel accomplished from that stuff. So I was asking him, I was like, you know, the cliched like honey-do list, right? I was like, I can make you a honey-do list. And will you feel like, I was like, will you feel accomplished when you check those things off? Cause I do, like, again, me painting the deck, which I'm not even done with, but when I do it, I see the product of my work. It feels good. I like doing things with my hands, insert joke whenever, but like I do, I like to be like hands-on with stuff. And I was kind of asking you, Greg, like, will you get the same feeling of accomplishment from that type of stuff? Because that is helpful to me and our family.
Yeah, I think some of it will. I think when you first said it, I wasn't ready to be
assigned tasks,
ready to be handed Oh, I'm sorry you're feeling down. Here's a honey-do list and that'll make you feel better. But I do think that is one of the things that I can and will spend some more time on. And I don't know if I'll feel accomplished doing that, but some of it is I've not done as much of that. So I think that will be an interesting, you know,
it's a good experiment
for sure.
you now, I mean, like you said in the moment, and I was half joking when I said it, because I was like, I know this may not be what you need right now, but I was like, I wanted to sort of spitball and throw some things up against the wall and like, be like, would this make you feel better? Would shoveling, you know, a ton of rocks from one end of the driveway to the other make you feel better? I think it's an experiment, because you'll do a project like that and say like, oh, did I feel good from that? Or would I rather just hire someone to do that next time and rather spend my time, you know, doing XYZ or making the money that it would have cost to, you know, hire someone to do that? Do you want to go, you know, drive Uber for a week to pay for someone else to do that because you don't like doing stuff like that? And again, I think all of this stuff is kind of an experiment of like, let's try it, see how it feels. I mean, we do projects like that together and separately all the time. And I think you kind of taking the lead on one and seeing, well, do you like it? Do you feel accomplished at the end? Or was that miserable and you only did it because you knew it needed to be done and you were trying to help us? I also real quick, just want to take a moment to compliment you, Greg. You do a ton of things around the house. So as much as you're not like, you don't keep a catalog in your brain of like the 20 backlog house projects that need to be done. Like I need to fix the leak in the roof and like, you know, random things that I can't get those things out of my head. You know, we just, our minds work differently. You do all the dishes, not all the, but you do a lot of the dishes. You fold all the laundry lately. Like you're very helpful around the house. You always take out the trash. Like you kill bugs when I scream from across the house. You're very, you know, you'll like, we take turns cleaning bathrooms and a lot of that kind of stuff sometimes, but like you're super helpful. And I don't know how helpful every person in this world is around the house, but I often try to tell you, I think you are way more helpful than the average partner and you do a lot. So I just, as much as I was kind of joking of like, I got a honey-do list of like, if you want some projects to feel accomplished about, you do a lot and I notice it and appreciate it. And I do try to remind you of that or make sure you realize I recognize that.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate you saying that. And again, maybe a project that has a more definitive, that is the fruits of my labor. I mean, doing dishes and all that feels very good, very short term. I mean, the kitchen's clean and it feels nice to be in a clean kitchen, but being able to walk past a drainage thing that I've done, I mean, drainage, not the most exciting, sexy thing in the world, but being able to see something that's a lasting fruit of your labor may be kind of fun. So it'll be a different shift from the kind of the daily, just housekeeping tasks to more of a project, which could be kind of fun.
Well, when you clean the dishes, when we clean the kitchen, I'm not exaggerating. 10 minutes later, somehow it's trashed again.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I could see why, you know, that doesn't give you the same, I don't know, sense of satisfaction. Okay. So let's shift into, aside from my responses of giving you lists of things to do and reminding you that being here for our kids was one of our goals, and that is something that you're doing very well at and that you are prioritizing and that should make you feel accomplished. Like, where else have you landed as you've had time to process a lot of these feelings?
So I had to get my iPad and my Apple Pen out because I've heard many people say this, but for me, writing is just different than typing. When I'm feeling like I've got to journal my feelings or think through things, I've found that writing is the thing that really helps me do that. So,
Hey, I should say you could also use just like a regular pen. We sound like super bougie. Well, I had to get out my Apple third generation pen and iPad Pro. Then I started. Sorry.
True. I could have used paper, but I like having it electronically. That's my in between.
You're very techie. It's cute.
But so after some reflection, I've started to realize that these lofty thoughts of I want to be creative, I want to come up with new hobbies, I want to, you know, come up with some business ideas. I don't even know that I want to start a business, but I want to know that I can generate really cool ideas. I have realized that you can't do those things without the blocking and tackling, the habits, the everyday habits and discipline and accountability, things that I did at work that are not natural to me necessarily. Some people, their first nature, for me, they weren't, but I developed them over years of my career and abandoned a lot of those when we retired because I was going to live this carefree life. But I've realized that I've got to feel some sense of movement and forward thinking. I've got to get a little bit better about those. So I jotted down some things that I'm going to do for myself and some accountabilities and discipline that I think will help me. And kind of just wanted to share those. So some of the specific action items for me were less Twitter or X and news and politics. I tend to do my doom scrolling there. So I find with Twitter, there's lots of interesting content out there, but there's so much political, and not just the political, the article, but it's the responses. And it's the tends to often be the absolute worst in humanity.
Yeah.
And I will notice reading these things or reading headlines in news articles, and it really, really affecting me. Just feeling a sense of dread or hopelessness or sadness for the world. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying I want to live in a cave and not know what's going on, but reading a 5-minute recap email of the world news in the morning is probably about all I need. It's out of my sphere of, I keep going back to some of Stephen Covey's things of, you know, stay with what's in your sphere of influence. And that stuff is way out of my sphere of influence, aside from when I vote. But beyond that, there's many things that I can't affect on a day-to-day basis. And spending hours a day reading and thinking about those things and people's comments is just absolutely not a good use of my time. And it stays with me once I leave it. So that's a big one for me. Limiting my time on other social media. I do find other social media to actually be relatively uplifting. Facebook less so, but Instagram, I follow very interesting people. But again, there's a time and a place for it, and spending too much time on it, I think you find yourself consuming versus creating. And I've heard other people talk about that so many of us have become such consumers and very few of us are creators. And so I want to spend less time on that. So those are just some discipline things that I think, and I've even in 5 days, I find myself being just a little lighter, not carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders from the news and crap on Twitter.
Yeah. On the flip side, Greg, you know this, but I spend very little time. I don't spend any time on Twitter. I spend almost no time reading about or digesting political content, and somewhat by design. And I spend way more time I don't even spend a lot of time, but I spend more time creating content than consuming content, and have a very limited sphere of kind of finance minimalism related content that I am when I am consuming stuff, or close personal friends and family type stuff. And yeah, I think there's a big difference, because I just don't, like, I do a little bit live in a cave. The only reason I don't live in a cave is because you tell me about stuff, which is very helpful. So at some point, or I'll read like my daily skim update or something like that. But I try to block out a lot of the noise, because it is very just noisy, and it doesn't make me a happier person. And not to say I like when there's something bad happening in the world that I'm not keeping up with, you know, what I can do to help or being aware of that situation. But so much of the political stuff is just going in circles and very negative and disheartening. And again, if it was in my sphere of influence and that's what I wanted to put my time and energy against, that would be different. But it's not right now. And yeah.
So some of the other things that I'm going to do is I'm going to replace some of that with listening to more informative or uplifting podcasts. There's a number of podcasts we listen to. It may be surprising to hear for this group. I don't love listening to stuff about fire. it's just not as interesting to me. You know, and again, how I fill you in on the news and world events, you keep me filled in on ideas and things that you've listened to.
Yeah.
But there are other podcasts out there that are actually uplifting, that are really interesting and thought-provoking and create more hope. And I've committed to once a week listening to something like that. I used to do more of it when I was working, because I knew that I was in this higher stress situation and these were helpful for me. And I think when we left that phase of life, I kind of thought, oh, I don't need these anymore. I'm going to be happy. I'm not working.
Yeah.
And I think those still have a lot of value. So I'm going to really hold myself accountable to consuming more of those.
What are a couple of your favorites that you like?
Well, I think hands down, Rich Roll has always been my favorite. He is a plant-based endurance athlete / podcaster that Maggie and I have been listening to for close to 10 years now. And
he inspired our veganism early on.
His
book called Finding Ultra, which I'll put a link in the show notes. One of my favorite like memoir books. It's not about veganism. It's about kind of a big life change he went through and turning his life around from being an alcoholic and getting back into endurance endurance sports. And that's a great book.
Yeah. And his podcast is originally was much more focused on nutrition and sports, endurance, sporting. And he still covers some of that, but he's really kind of expanded his focus to talk a lot more about mental health things, brings on lots of interesting authors and has these long form conversations that are an hour and a half, 2 hours long sometimes. And he's just so thoughtful and insightful. And I rarely leave one of those not feeling a little more, a little better than when I started listening. So someone that I definitely want to listen to and incorporate some of that into my life. And then some of this is just some more basic things. Meditation is something we've done off and on. Again, I kind of stopped doing it as much when I retired because I didn't think I needed it as much. So trying to meditate every day. And then even really tactical things like time boxing and to-do lists. I've got this big open calendar, so it's really easy for the day to get by half the day and not have done something. So I've, within my calendar, created a separate kind of color of things for time boxing to just say, hey, from 11 to noon, I'm going to work on whatever it is. I'm going to think about something. I'm going to do some projects. And it's still very early for me, but I think this will be really helpful. And it was when I worked, I would try to do that instead of just the meetings. I would say this was my time to work on whatever project. So I'm going to try to do more of that. And then even to-do lists, I've always found them helpful. I still keep up with them, but not as much as I used to. And I think those things, what they do is they create momentum. And sure, a detailed to-do list is maybe not where you're going to feel accomplished. I mean, I think on a day you could feel accomplished. Hey, I did 6 things. But what they do is they create momentum. And I think for me, getting some momentum in smaller areas of my life and seeing that momentum build is going to help me towards the other things in life, the figuring out new hobbies. And it sounds silly. Wow, you need a to-do list to figure out what your hobbies are. But I think so. I think I need to be a little more structured in my life and set aside time to think about things, set a goal for myself. Today, I'm going to go try this hobby. And, you know, for some people, they can just wake up and say, hey, I'm going to go try this hobby. I've always been someone that I need to very specifically lay things out for myself, or I can get caught up in the opposite of, I guess, inertia. You know, I can just sort of get stuck and not go anywhere.
Yeah, it's the ennui. Did I say it right?
Mm-hmm,
you did. Ennui that we've talked about, which is that feeling of listlessness. And it's not laziness per se, but it is just the what is the opposite of inertia?
I think the opposite of inertia might be complacency or stuckness.
It actually, I just Googled this. Inertia has no opposite. An object at rest remains at rest. So it's sort of rest in a way.
Right.
Which again, that's interesting because that's not, rest isn't a bad thing. And I think that is one of the things, you know, we've talked about with me is like, I actually need to rest more.
Even around projects in the house and what we were talking about, I do a lot of the house, you know, the washing dishes, the folding laundry, but not the bigger projects. It gets back again to Covey's that matrix he has of urgent and important. And so I find myself doing a lot of the things that are urgent and important, but professionally and personally, Covey talked about the things that are important, but not urgent. And that's being the things that really make a big difference. And so that's where I want to shift some of my focus is this drainage project. It's important, but there's no urgency. It's been sitting there for
I mean, there's like a cracked pipe that is, I'm half joking, but yeah, your point. But no, it's a great example. I know we keep talking about that project, but that is important, but not urgent because nothing's like, it's slowly going to be causing a longer term issue, but slowly it's not on fire. You know, you don't have to like the dishes aren't piling up or we don't have anything to eat on tomorrow, right?
Yeah. And so some of those same Covey lessons that I learned very early in my career that helped, I find myself realizing the importance of them and the wisdom of them, even in this phase of life.
So I think it's interesting just that you keep tying back to like different principles you learned professionally. And that's like what we've been doing for the past 20 years was working in corporate environments in leadership roles for at least the last 10 years. And when we were first talking about this and we, as we were kind of evolving our discussion, we were talking about about this concept, which I always love the book. This is a book title, and I used to do different kind of sessions at work focused on this, but there's a book that's pretty famous in the leadership space around what got you here won't get you there. And it was all around the spirit of like, look, when you're an individual contributor and you're really good at doing that thing you do, managing social media, whatever you might do, getting into a management role is a very different set of things. So all the things you are good at there are not going to be what gets you to the next step. But what's interesting is as we were like thinking about that concept, we were like, actually, what got us here is what will get us there. Like all these principles we're going back to, which is like we were discussing it and we were saying, you know, when we were both, we have different levels of self-directedness naturally, just based on what's in our nature and who we are. But even with slightly different levels of how self-directed we are, we both realized that when somebody else was, you know, we had a lot of autonomy at work because we were in leadership roles, but we also had other people often setting strategic goals and deadlines on things, right? And again, we could negotiate it and we could say like, hey, what's more important? These three, when do you want this to happen? Well, then, you know, there's only so much resources, whatever. But we ultimately still had someone else and an engine of a company behind us that was driving that strategic, even just the idea of having to set goals every year. Like we had every year there was, you know, you get into the, you, at some point you kind of roll your eyes. You're like, oh, we go through this every year. We set our goals, but it's a helpful process.
Yeah. And even though we were both able to be very self-directed within our scopes there, like you said, there were these organizational goals that were set and we knew with a team, we knew its direction we were rowing. And now we're completely self-directed.
Yeah. Which is good. And it's dangerous. Right. And we realized this early on around like needing some more structure in our days. Not all the time. I really like today we had a particularly kind of lazy and restful day. We like went to lunch with a friend and we didn't do a lot, right? I went for a run this morning. You went for a long walk, but like this was one of my, for me personally, is one of my like least active days in a, you know, the last couple weeks. But it's good. And I like that flexibility. But the point is if I spend every day like I spent today, I wouldn't be accomplishing the things that I need to do in my life to continue to feel good and move forward, like stuff related to the kids and just everything. And so I just love the phrase because I love the book, and I love the concept of what got you here won't get you there. But I reposition that to what got us here is what will get us there, right? So we need more of these principles from work and what made us successful professionally, we actually need to tap back into to feel better about how we're spending our time. And that doesn't mean we're not, you can take some of those principles and apply them to a more flexible, free life that we have now. And
yeah, I love that, Maggie. I think that is really what I think you phrased it in a way that sort of captures a lot of the realizations that I've been having of the things that I want to try to incorporate more into my life. So I think that's great. I like that and really resonates with me.
I'm glad it resonates. I came up with it on the spot, but it was one of those things where, yeah, it just makes sense and I'm glad it resonates. So I think we've said this in different ways, Greg, but I think one of the things we're realizing is that nobody else is going to light a fire under us anymore. And this, you made this comment, Greg, of like somebody who is more entrepreneurial and works for themselves always has had to do this, but we didn't, right? We worked for other people for the last 20 years, our entire professional careers. And again, as self-directed as we were, we were doing that within an ecosystem that was constantly lighting a fire under us more often than I wanted a fire lit, honestly. Sometimes yeah. I was like, oh my God, like, can we just like catch our, it's like you finish one big thing and you barely get to catch your breath before you move on to the next. And so we just realized we don't have anyone lighting a fire under us, again, even for just personal things that we want to accomplish. And so we have to light that fire ourselves. And I think a lot of the things that you talked about, Greg, around, you know, just time boxing and being more intentional about how you want to spend your time and setting some goals and starting some projects is very important. I'm actually, in some ways, I face the opposite problem, which is I have so many things I want to do. I still have this list of like 200 kind of early retirement bucket list things that I want to, projects I want to do, things I want to, just passion projects, things I want to explore. I know I always said I want to do like a keto lesson. So it's a very wide range of ideas and things I want to do and explore. And I feel like I haven't done as much as I want against that. But I also know I'm very busy and my days are full. And I just am, in general, you know, my eyes are bigger than my stomach is. So I've this is not a new trend for me, but I'm constantly, you know, just thinking of new things. And so I less need a fire lit under me, and I more need to be more thoughtful. And I've been trying to be more thoughtful and think like, okay, a month ago, I wanted to start some of my woodworking stuff. And I checked out a bunch of books from the library on woodworking. And then like 2 days later, I started painting the deck. And I was like, well, these are both big projects. And I'm going to focus on painting the deck. And I returned all my overdue books that I never got to and was like, I don't need to do woodworking now. I can do it 2 months from now, right? And so my thing is, if anything, I want to start having these smaller, more attainable focus periods of being like, hey, the month of September, I'm really going to focus on finishing the deck painting project. And it's a busy volleyball season, right? And so just being, you know, I'm the team mom for the volleyball team and just being as helpful as I can to the other parents and the coaches. And that's just an example, but I only need like a few goals. And I'm really trying to get back into my meditation practice this month, which I've been really good about. And so for me, it is more just, again, trying to slow myself down and not commit to too many things at once and really enjoy the process, if you will. But another thing that I am realizing lately, like I think when you and I were starting to have these discussions, Greg, we were going through like different things in a way, but it was having the conversations was making me realize a lot of things about just this moment in our lives and where we're at. And for me, I ultimately am seeking more balance, which is ironic because all I ever wanted when I was working was more balance, right? That was a big buzzword of like, oh, we need more balance. And, you know, you're always, it is just something we talked about a lot. And my balance now is I want to have more time to rest and relax and invest in my health and do all the things that I couldn't do when I had a demanding full-time job. But I also want to feel accomplished and productive and valued. I want the balance of both of those things. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what I was always striving for in my career. I just was never, you know, I wasn't terrible at it, but I wasn't great at it either. Cause all the same things of like, right, what got us here is what's going to get me there. Cause it's the same things I needed to do professionally to be successful. I need to do in early retirement to be successful, right? I need to set better boundaries. I need to say no more often. I need to find this elusive balance that I've been seeking for my entire life. And one of the concepts that I mentioned to you that I went back to, and it's kind of funny because for anyone who worked with me, this was like 10 years ago, probably, we had a new CMO come in, and it was like constantly, there was like, there's a new CMO every few years, and they'd come in and they'd have their plan and their approach. And somebody came in and their big thing, their big kind of strategic plan, and it was kind of modeled on a reorg also, but was like flexibility within a framework. And it doesn't matter all the stuff that related to that plan, but I loved that term, flexibility within a framework, because all the things you've been talking about, Greg, are a framework, right? It's having a little more structure. It's being thoughtful about how you want to spend your time and actually blocking and time boxing the time so that you're more likely to accomplish those goals for the day. But also the flexibility, because one of the things I highly value and love about this is I love waking up and not exactly knowing what I'm going to do that day, right? Like I love it's like we need the structure, but I also really value and want the freedom of not having my days highly planned out. And so I just think that juxtaposition is fascinating. And that's why I love this freedom within a framework of I can have a framework of like, I'm trying to meditate more, I'm blocking out my time for it. But all those things that are time boxed in a certain color, if you will, on your calendar, they are flexible now because I'm driving them, right? And right. Whether I go for a run this morning, you know, I had my calendar blocked to run this morning, but I don't know, you got up earlier, but I slept in a little bit more than I normally do. And I was okay with that. So I pushed my run an hour later and I still got it in before we went to lunch. And then we unexpectedly both took a nap today, which I don't think we've ever taken in 500 days of early retirement. We've both taken naps. I don't think we've ever taken a synchronized nap before. We were like on cue. I don't know what we ate at lunch, but we like on cue fell asleep.
It's a big trend on the gram right now. Synchro napping.
Synchro napping. I like it.
People just post time-lapse videos of the synchro nap.
Oh, we should have done a time-lapse really cool. Of our nap. It would have been very boring. I do remember falling asleep with you. Like we have like a L-shaped couch and you were on like one of the arms and I was on the other arm. And I think we were like holding hands while we fell asleep for our nap. It was kind of cute. It was a nice nap. And then I woke up very disoriented and was like, where am I and what day is it? And who what's happening? Anyways, it is the idea of, you know, I want both the structure and I want the freedom, right? I want to have more structure in my days and a little bit more thoughtfully planned out and kind of goals set for myself. But I also highly value right now waking up and being able to make decisions based on how I feel that day and saying like, you know, I'm just not feeling like doing a lot today. I'm going to push some of that stuff to another day. I'm not going to ignore it forever. And so I just love this concept of flexibility within a framework. Like, I think you're going to benefit from more of a framework around your days and what you're doing. But I also think you can keep that flexibility piece and know that you have a lot of flexibility within that framework.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're both seeking more balance just in little different ways. Your balance is more relaxing and my balance is a little more structure and a little more intentional uses of my time.
Yeah, yeah. So we also, Greg, just a fun way to wrap up this episode, because we could continue to talk about our feelings forever, is I put a little post on Instagram and said, any question? I said, you know, we're 500 days in early retirement. Any questions people have for us? And I thought I would hit some of those questions. Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna hit some of the quick ones fast. Okay. First question, Greg, are you satisfied with the health insurance?
Yeah, we've got great coverage through the marketplace. It's better. Yeah, honestly, better than our prior insurance. Lower co-pays.
Yeah, I came from a high deductible plan, so ours is definitely better because now we're on one, like you said, lower co-pays, super low deductible. We get to see all the doctors. We get to see all the same doctors. It's not, I mean, like, we've had to switch a couple doctors here and there, but the quality is the same. Like, I had to switch OBs, same quality. I just now have a new OB. One of the best questions we got, Greg, was, do you bone a lot more in the middle of the day?
Occasionally. I think we're tend to be more night boners.
I just told you guys we took a nap this afternoon holding hands together. So, you know, that might answer your question. I don't know. It's hard to say. I didn't keep a chart of how often it would happen during the day versus in the evening before. But I'd say, like, if anything, it started more during COVID when we were working remote. So, you know, who knows? We're not going to go into detail on that one. I also, like, everybody has like different terms for things. I don't use the term bone that often.
Yeah.
It's a funny term.
Yeah, I don't love the question.
Oh, okay.
Well, just, yeah. I mean, part of it's probably the terminology. It's weird for me to say that.
Okay. Another question, Greg. After all those years saving, is it psychologically hard to spend that money? Did we do an episode on this recently? We talked about a lot on Die With Zero, but what do you think?
I think so. I certainly fear seeing my net value decrease.
Your net worth, you mean?
Yes, my net worth.
Your net value is increasing, Greg. I value you more and more every day.
Yeah, I fear seeing my net worth decrease. That's tough to answer. I think it is, but then I also find myself, because I don't have work to just keep me busy all the time, wanting to spend more money sometimes. So I would say it varies. It's not a great answer, but...
Well, yeah, the question is it psychologically hard to spend that money? Yeah, it's a little harder to spend money psychologically when you aren't earning money anymore, but it's not impossible. We're doing a good job. We're still spending money, right? And we're spending more money. We've talked about that in some expense review episodes. Okay. What has been the most surprising / unexpected thing, good or bad, about early retirement? Might be what this whole episode was just about.
Yeah. I mean, on the bad side, I would say is just how not easy it is emotionally, I guess.
Like how much of a transition it is.
Yeah. And even though people warned me, I still am surprised at how out of sorts I've been.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with that one. It's been way more emotionally taxing of a transition than I expected, considering you would think, what do you have? Like, everything should be unicorns and rainbows or butterflies, whatever you're saying, right?
Okay. Rainbows and butterflies.
Rainbows and butterflies and unicorns. Okay.
Well, they're not real. So of course not unicorns.
Let's not get into this because I think unicorns might be real. Do we know they're not real?
Yeah.
Weren't they in like What's that?
Narnia?
No, not Narnia. That other movie from like the 80s.
I'm sure they were.
Land of Stories. No. You know, the one with the flying.
Never ending story. I don't think there was a unicorn in that.
Even if there was, they still could not be real. Okay. So this question came in a few different ways. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read a few angles on this question and then we'll address this and wrap this up. So how do you fulfill your need for esteem? Where do you get your gold stars? Kind of one question. And then the other question, which I think is related, is how do you get past any feelings of potential regret about wasting your gifts, training, general money-making ability? And then they said, you know, they don't necessarily think that anyone should feel that way, but they're worried that they will feel that way when they retire. Do you want to start, Greg?
I think you should start with that one.
Okay. Well, I have talked about it before, just on the esteem and the kind of gold stars, because I think these are related, but a little bit different. I've said before, I get as much esteem and gold star feeling from helping our volleyball coach who puts in a lot of time and probably doesn't get paid very much to do this, or helping other parents and signing up for volunteer roles so that they don't have to, and doing stuff to help at school and other things in the community. I feel good about that. And I get a lot of positive feedback from other people about it, right? And that fills my cup of needing to get that, you know, esteem or gold stars, if you will. And it ironic, I've said it before in previous episodes when we've talked about this, but it's crazy how much something that might seem like me organizing and running the admissions and snack table for a volleyball tournament, I get as much esteem and gold star feeling from as I did from some big multi-million dollar project at work, right? They're different, but they both feel good. I'm helping other people. And in some ways, the volleyball one feels better because we were talking about this with our friend at lunch today. Like, it's, you immediately see the benefits of your actions, yeah, versus something at work went through like a lot of ups and downs, a lot of complaints, a lot of negative feedback, a lot of political stuff. And then you know, months or years later, might have seen the fruits of your labor come to life. And then, so on the broader question of how I get past feelings of kind of wasting my gifts or my training or general money-making ability, it's a good question. I've thought about it a lot because, like, yeah, I got to a pretty senior level. I spent a lot of money on my MBA. I did really well in school. And I just think, you know, lately, it doesn't really bother me. If anything, I feel very accomplished and proud of the fact that we've been able to do this thing. I'm more worried about some things around, like, am I leaving a good impact and the role model I'm setting for my kids? But in terms of feeling any feelings about that I'm wasting my talents, I think I'm using them in very different ways, and I'm never going to lose those talents, right? If I ever want to go back into that sort of environment, I still have those talents and skills, and they're not going to atrophy, in my opinion, right? They might need a little bit of, you know, rebuilding of that muscle, but I'll always have that.
I think it's a really good question, and I probably cannot answer it quite as definitively as you did. It's definitely something that I have in this, all of these mixed thoughts I've been having lately, that's probably one that's mixed in. I don't think I articulated it nearly as well as that, but I think that's definitely part of it. But I think I will answer it kind of in the answer we shared in this podcast of, you know, right now it's a different phase of life. I think that I will be able to utilize those skills in this phase of life in some ways, like you are. And I think that there will be a time in life where I'll utilize them in something that is a professional pursuit of some sort, with saying that I know I don't want to go back to a job like I had before. So
yeah,
how's that for a non-answer?
Well, I, you know, when this person used the word, you know, regret about wasting your talents, and that to me makes me think about value, which we've talked about, you know, a number of times around early retirement. And I think about, you know, my previous quote value was derived and those accolades, right? The other person's question about, you know, how I fulfill my need for esteem and gold stars and stuff, right? That's part of, you know, me feeling valued from what I was doing. And when I think about how I derived value when I was in 20 years of corporate America, it was around doing things for other people. I lean heavily towards being a people pleaser. And so when I look back, I'm proud of all my accomplishments, but all of that was for somebody else. It was for what, and yes, there were my own ideas mixed in there and things that I was driving, but it was all for, you know, a company's goal and something else, and in support of some other leader that I was working for. And I'm looking at now this shift, you know, I'm learning to do things for myself and change that about me and become less of a people pleaser and focus more on what I think is valuable, right? And when I actually think about it, I'm like, look, my value shouldn't have to be putting corporate America before myself so that I can make lots of money, right? And that's how I once did define value. And I wouldn't have phrased it that way. And I'm not knocking it. I did it for 20 years. And that was a meaningful phase of my life. And it got me to where I am today. And it was a meaningful phase and purpose of my life. But that 20 years is enough for me. I've often had to think about this. And I'm like, oh, I spent $100,000 on an MBA from Emory. And, you know, was that all worth it? And I'm like, well, I had a very successful career in a specific field for 20 years. And that's awesome. And maybe I'll do something else and it'll end up as a, you know, 5 years of me doing XYZ. Or, well, like we talked about, for the next 5 years, I'm going to really lean into our kids and family life. And it's very different, but it's no less, quote, valuable or a waste of my time or my gifts or my talents than me putting my time into what I was doing at work in various leadership roles. But I think a big piece of that is kind of what we place value on, right? And I've had this concept, and I didn't like come up with this concept, but just this idea of like this new American dream, right? We think the American dream is like, you work really hard, you get a good job, you make lots of money, you buy what you need, you support your family, you know, support the economy, whatever. But I think we place too much value on the wrong things at times. And so for me, it's reshifting my mind to thinking I'm no less valuable because I want to spend more time focusing on my family and helping my kids and doing a bunch of other things that I enjoy doing with that. But, you know, as we talk about, like, you know, who is often, not always, but often the person that stays at home, if someone is staying at home in a family, is the woman. And just that in general, society values that as a less important role than somebody going off to a job and, you know, making some amount of money every day. And I don't think we should. And I'm not saying I hadn't been guilty of that thought at some point in the last 20 years when I did have my career and when I would look at somebody else, you know, that was staying home and raising their kids. But there's immense value that comes from that. It's just very different.
No, I agree. And you know, there's always the platitude that's thrown in. Oh, mom, toughest job ever.
Yeah.
But I don't think people truly value it enough.
Yeah. And when that's where all of your accolades and gold stars are coming from, like, you don't get as many of them. It's an even tougher job because you're doing all this stuff for people that often are unpleasant and ungrateful, whether it's a toddler or a teenager, right? They're not like thanking you for all the crap you do for them. And that in many ways makes it even harder of a job. But Greg, I told you about this today. I'm listening to this book called The Measure, and I'm not going to get into like what it's all about, but it's a fiction book. It's really good. I'm about halfway through it, so I think it's really good. But there's a phrase in the book that was, what if I never do something that leaves an impact? One of the characters was saying that. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, that's a great question. And I don't feel like if I were to die next week, right? I don't feel like I've not yet done something that's left an impact, right? I spent 20 years as what I think was a pretty good employee, boss, leader. I made other people's lives better at work. I believe that was my focus, at least. I've spent a number of, you know, years and time raising my kids. I do a lot to help others in my community. And so I feel like I've left an impact, even if it all stops now, right? And I no longer leave any impact.
You forgot one. You're a great spouse and a great partner.
Thanks,
and
babe.
You certainly made an impact in my life.
Oh, that's really sweet. I didn't
That's
put
true,
that in the script for him to say.
Yeah, no, it's unscripted. I would agree with you. You've made a big impact.
Yeah, thank you. But the question is, so when I heard that question in this book, which I actually was listening to that part today, I was like, would more time working for a big company and making lots of money, would that leave a better impact in the world? No, and not for me personally. And again, I'm not knocking it. Like, I did that happily, or mostly happily, for a long time, and it was very fruitful for me. But for me personally, at this stage in my life, I don't think I'm going to add more value to society doing that for longer. And I just think about, you know, we talk about this with our decision to decide to take the plunge and retire early, which was in many ways a tough decision for us. It was a going against the grain of what everybody else is doing in society, which is making and spending more money, or trying to make and spend more money. And we were actually trying to lead simpler lives and spend less money and have more freedom and time and be able to, you know, spend our time doing other things. And I think it actually takes a lot of strength to do that. And I felt like, again, it wasn't like an easy, flippant decision for us. Yeah. So I think we've answered that question in detail and could kind of go on forever. And that could probably probably be a whole nother episode.
Well, I think I would just conclude with saying it is a great question. And I think it is something that you probably answer multiple times throughout your life.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're doing and your circumstances. And it's in essence saying, am I adding value? And I think that's something that you have to answer probably time and time again through your life of how do I most want to add value and what is that? And am I doing it on based on what I think value is or versus what society tells me?
Yeah, that's a great point. And to your point, Greg, how I currently view value, which will evolve and change over time. And that's kind of what prompted this entire episode. And this entire discussion was you starting to question if you were creating enough value, right? You say you're feeling unaccomplished, it's that you're feeling like you're not creating value in some way. And again, you are. And I was reminding you, like, your value right now is being there for your family. And that's a different muscle for you to build, because for so long, your value was going out and making money. And maybe you can do both at some point in your life. But right now, we've decided to phase some things and say, hey, we put our heads down and we worked really hard for 20 years. And now we want to pick our heads up and try to live our lives differently.
This has been just the breakthrough moment on the couch right now. You know, they like a lot of times in therapy, you have that breakthrough where you realize, here's the underlying issue, the underlying thing. I think that's it. It's the question of, do you feel like you're creating value?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So you're getting like more out of even just this conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Versus the ones we've already had. Well, on that note, since we've had a breakthrough moment and this has gone pretty long, we should probably wrap this up and we'll continue this. I mean, again, we sometimes try to cover topics that are, you know, very specific financial tactics and recommendations. And the spirit of Inside Out Money is also to tackle these psychological feeling topics around money and for what we're going through right now, early retirement. And I hope this is helpful to people. We appreciate you listening. We know your time is very limited and valuable, and we value that you spend some of it with us. I didn't mention this podcast, Greg, but I do get a lot of value out of this podcast. When I get messages all the time, especially when we were ending Friends on Fire, and I get them now still with Inside Out Money. I get messages all the time about the impact that this has had in someone's life. And I've been doing some financial coaching, not a lot, but a little bit of it. And I'm getting a lot of value out of that. I'm finding it to be very rewarding, even in small doses. And okay, we appreciate you guys being here with us. And we always encourage you to share this episode with a friend or family member to encourage ongoing discussions about money, finances, retirement. Maybe share it with your parents, see if they go through similar things in their more traditional retirement ages, perhaps.
You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have any questions, we'd love to hear them. Please leave a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on the gram.
That's the Instagram. Don't hit me up on Twitter because I'm very inactive on Twitter. And now Greg is also, per his new commitment. Okay. Thank you guys. Bye, Greg.
Bye, Maggie.